Masechta Bava of Metzia Daf Tzadik Tes. The Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Tzadik Tes on Amud Beis teaches us that if Reuven lends a parah to Shimon and he sends the parah to Shimon through his son, through his Eved, through his Shliach, it's not considered to be in Shimon the Shael's Rishus until Shimon gets it. However, if Shimon told Reuven, send it to me with your son, or with your Shliach, or with your Eved, in that case, when Reuven handed it to the Shliach, or to his Eved, or to his son, it's considered as if Shimon got it, and the animal died on the way, Shimon will be chayiv. We discussed at the end of last year, what's the dynamic, how does that work? Why is Shimon responsible when it was handed over to Reuven's son, even though it was at Shimon's command, but still how did Shimon get it? So we mentioned to Mahalchem, Shita brings, then Ruki Yosef brings it to Mahalchem as well. Either it works as if Shimon told Reuven, have your son, have your Eved, have your Shliach, serve as a Shliach like Kabbalah for me. It's as if he said, tell him in my name that I want to be my Shliach like Kabbalah. Or the second Mahalach is that it's not all Shlichus, it's not that they are serving as the Shliach like Kabbalah of the Shoyul, rather it's Midin Arev. As the Mashal put his money at risk, because Hatzi tells himself Piv, based on Shimon Seiso, so that's Machayev Shimon Alts Arev. He allowed his Mammon to go out of his Rishos at Shimon's request, that will be Machayev Shimon Midin Arev. We mentioned the Nesiva says there's a serious Nachmin Allah Locha between these two Mahalchim. If the reason Shimon is Chayev when he told Reuven to send it with his own son, because Reuven's son becomes a Shliach LeKabbalah for Shimon, in the case where Reuven's son is a Chershayt or a Katan, there's no way that Reuven's son can become a Shliach. The Chershayt or a Katan can't be a Shliach for anybody. Meila, if Reuven sent it with the son, and the son is a Katan, let's say, Shimon won't be Chayiv if he died on the way. However, if it's Medina Arev, says the Nesivis, since Lamaisa had left Reuven's Rishos, at Shimon's request, well, Shimon will be Chayiv Alts Arev, because of the din of Hatzei Tais Al Piv, that Reuven allowed his money to leave his Rishos and to be at risk at Shimon's behest. Now, the Gemara asks on that part of the Mishnah that if Shimon told Reuven, send me the para with your Eved, once Reuven gives it to his Eved and it dies on the way, the halacha is that Shimon is responsible. Ask the Gemara, Biad Avdei Chayiv, if Reuven gave it to his own Eved, and he took it on the way, and it died on the way, Shimon is Chayiv, how could that be? Yad Eved ki Yad Rabbi. The hand of the Eved is like the hand of the Adoin. As Rashi explains, Yotzes Mirshus Mashal. The Parah never left the Rishus of the Mashal. So how could the Mishnah say that Shimon is Chayiv, Reuven sent it with his own Eved, even though Shimon asked him to? Nevertheless, it never left Reuven's Rishos. How, asked the Gemara, can Shimon be responsible for it at that point? Now, the Gemara's Kasha, according to the first Mahalach that we mentioned, that the Chiyuv is because the Eved or the son or the Shliach of Reuven become the Shliach LeKabbalah of Shimon. So that's very easily understood. There's no way that Reuven can be a Shliach LeKabbalah for Shimon. Reuven is the owner. It has to leave his Rishos. Likewise, Reuven's Eved can't be a Shliach LeKabbalah of Shimon because Reuven's Eved's hand has the same status as Reuven's hand himself. It never left Reuven's Rishos. There's no way that the Eved can be a Shliach LeKabbalah. Even according to the second Mahalach that we mentioned, that's Arev, the reason that Shimon is Chayiv if the animal dies on the way en route, because Reuven was Hotzei Tois Al Piv, he put his money somewhere else at risk at Shimon's behest. Still, if it didn't leave his Rishos, there's no Chiyuv of Arev over here. The Lashon Ruki Yosef, the Kol Moitzi Mamon Mershusei Al Pi Chaveiro Nischayiv Le Chaveiro Kedin Arev. If he took the Mamon that he owns out of his Rishos, based on the request of his friend, so his friend is responsible. But Kolzman, it's in Reuven's Rishos, it's not Shayiv that it should be a Chiyuv Arev on Shimon. Therefore, the Gemara asks, how is it Shayiv for Shimon to be Chayiv when Reuven sent it with his own Eved? It's still in Reuven's Rishos. So the Gemara brings two terutzim, one terutz from Shmuel. That's talking about an Eved Ivri. It's Reuven's Eved Ivri that he sent it with. In that case, there's no Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabbi. An Eved Ivri doesn't belong to his master. An Eved Kanani is the property of his master. An Eved Ivri is a Jew who has own rishus. He just is meshubah to work for the Adin, but it's not yet Eved Kiyad Rabbi. Now Taisus really asks a question under this. The Gemara Kedushin says that one cannot be meichel his Eved Ivri to tell him, you know what, you can leave, it's not enough. He has to write a get shechar, he has to write a shtar, and the Gemara there says in Kedushin that Tezayin, because Eved Ivri gufei konei. The Gemara says something that would seem contradictory to what it says over here. The Gemara there says that Eved Ivri does belong, his guf does belong to his Adai. So really, the Ritva in Masechta Kedushin understands that it says Eved Ivri gufei konei means only l'gabei the kinyan iser, that the Adin has a kinyan in the Eved, he tak has a different status because of the ownership the Adin has on him, mele it's mutter for him to live with the Shifcha Kedanis. Regarding the Momonistic Hashibud, Itaka is nothing more than a regular worker. And if the Adin told him he could leave, Itaka is going to be potter from working, he doesn't have to pay Giro and Kesef, he doesn't have to reimburse him for any money, but Kinyan Isser that the Adin has on the Eved does not go off without a shtar. That's what the Gemara means according to the Ritva and Kedushin, Eved Ivri gufei konei. However, Tais over here understands that the Gemara says Eved Ivri gufei konei, that the Adin has a kinyan in the guf of the Eved, it means that when the Adin says, you can leave, I don't need your work anymore, even though he's meichelit, the shibud, the chiyuv that the Adin has on the Eved does not dissipate by that verbal mechila. He needs to write a shtar. He can recant on his mechila. Nevertheless, when the Gemara says Eved Ivri gufei konei, it doesn't mean that he has an actual schus in the body of the Eved that is possible to say Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi. Rather, it means that he has a shibud on the guf l'maisa yodov that the Eved has to work for him. And he is not going to be able to relinquish his shibud on the Eved just by saying it, by doing a mechila b'peh, he'd have to write a shtar. But to say that it's Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, ad kedei kach, so far the Gemara never meant to say. Actually, the Machna Ephraim proves from here, according to Taisus, that if somebody has a shibud aguf on somebody else's maisa yadayim, the person has to work for him. The mashal the Machna Ephraim brings, he's talking about somebody bought a shivcha, a goita. According to the Ramban and the Rashba, a shivcha, kol zman, he didn't be matbul, or he didn't ever be toivul, l'shem avdus, he only has a kinyan l'maisa yadayim. He doesn't have bailus on her like an odin has on an evet kanani. But he does have a shibud l'maisa yodeo. He has a schus in her guf for maisa yodeo. The Machna Ephraim proves from here, according to Taisus, just like an Eved Ivri gufei konei, it means that he has a schus in his maisa yodeim, he can't be meichelit just by saying that he's meichel the Eved, his shibud. He tells the Eved he can go, the shibud that he has is not nimchal, doesn't disappear just because of a verbal mechila. Likewise, if somebody has a shibud a guf in a shivcha that he wasn't matbil yet, that he didn't make her be tovul shame avdus, nevertheless, if he says to her, I'm meichel you, I'm mavater, I'm relinquishing the shibud that I have in you, that won't work. He can recant, as mechila does not work on a shibud aguf. So, getting back to the Gemara, we said Shmuel understood our Mishnah when it says that Reuven sent the par to Shimon with his own Eved, it means the Eved Ivri. Therefore, the Eved Ivri is not gufei konei regarding the point of Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi. The Adin doesn't have such a major schus in the Eved Memela. It's considered that it left Reuven's rishus and Shimon's rishus, and therefore Shimon is responsible. Rav gives a different teretz to explain. The Mishnah Rav says it could be the Mishnah is talking about Reuven sent the part to Shimon with his own Eved Kanani. Nevertheless, Shimon is responsible. Why? Nasako imroli hakish b'makal v'tovoy. Rav understands the Mishnah means when Shimon tells Reuven, send it to me with your Eved Kanani, really, it's as if he said, hit the par with the stick, and it'll come towards me. In such a case, if Shimon told that to Reuven, Reuven hit the para to leave his rishos and walked out of Reuven's rishos, at that point, even though Shimon never got it, he's responsible for it. Rashi's lashon is the shabid nafshei mishatetz mishusa. He was mishabed himself. He's responsible for it for the moment it left Reuven's rishos. So true, it's being sent out with the eved, but that wasn't the point of what Shimon told him. Shimon told him when it comes out of the rishos, I'll be responsible for it. We'll get back, Mirtz Hashem, to this teretz and discuss it more in depth soon. Before we do that, It comes out halacha l'maaseh from the Gemara's kasha. That's paskin in Shulchan Aruch. That if it wasn't an eved ivri, and if it wasn't a case where he said a kisha b'makal, or if we don't paskin this a kisha b'makal v'yitavoy, we'll see Mirat Hashem soon. If not for these tirutzim in the Gemara, if somebody sends a para with his eved kanani, it's not considered as if it left the sender's rishos until it reaches the person that it's intended to reach. Therefore, if Reuben the Mashal sends it with his Eved Kanani, Shimon is not Chai B'Achrayis until Shimon gets it. Now, likewise, the halacha is when the Shail returns it to the Mashal, the Mishnah says, if the Shail sent the Shliach on his own cognizance, then it's not considered that he returned it. He still is responsible for it until it reaches the Mashal. However, if the Mashal told the Shail, send it with your Ben, with your Eved, with your Shliach, once they take it and leave, it's on the Mashal Zachrayis, and if it dies on the way, the Shail is Potter. However, the Shulchan Aruch paskins that just like when the Mashal sends it to the Shail, the same way when the Shail sends it to the Mashal, if the Mashal told the Shail, Reuben told Shimon, send it to me with your Eved Kanani, and Shimon did so, since Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, it's considered that it's still in Shimon's Rishus, and therefore, if it died on the way, Shimon is going to be Chayim, it's still in his Christ, it's still under his jurisdiction, because the Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi. The Kitzer, the halacha of when the Shoyal sends it back to the Mashal is a mirror image of the halacha when the Mashal sends it to the Shoyal. However, the Nesivus and Simon Shin Moim, Sivkot Nudal, asked the Kasha that Lechaira, drawing an exact comparison, is really not necessarily true. The Nesivus asserts that it could be the Gemara's Kasha of when the Gemara asks that Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, and therefore it's considered that it didn't leave the Rishus of the one who sent it with his Eved Kanani, is only going on the case where the Mashal sends it to the Shail. Since it never left the Rishus of the Mashal, the Shail is not responsible for it, even though he told the Mashal to send it with the Mashal's Eved. Says the Nesivus in his Kasha, that Svara is Mukhrach, where the Mashal sends it to the Shail. True, the Shail set the sender with the Eved Kanani. Nevertheless, since it never left the Rishus of the Mashal, there's no way that the Shail could be Chayiv. It never went into his Rishus. However, if the Mashal tells the Shail, in the reverse case, the Mashal tells the Shail, send it with your Eved Kanani. And the Shail does so. He sends it with his own Eved Kanani to the Mashal. It could be, although Ataka didn't leave the Rishus of the Shail, nevertheless, the Shail is going to be Potter. And then Nesivus says, there's a very, you said this, like a difference between being Mischaiv and Pottering. He says, by a Halva, if the Levin tells the Malva, send it to me through a Chereshet of a Katan, and I'll owe you the money, for sure I'll Shliach, it won't help. Isn't that right to be Shluchim? And therefore, the Levin is going to be Potter. However, if the loiva is told by the malva, send it through a chershik to the cotton and you'll be potter from your chayv, the halacha is that he's going to be potter. Technically, the malva just has to be meichel the loiva. And if he tells him, I'll be meichel you if you do X, Y, Z, even if he doesn't get it back, it's enough to potter him. The mechanism that it takes to mechayv somebody is much more serious than what it takes to potter somebody. The Nesivus brings several rayas to this yisoid. It's much easier to potter. It takes much less a malachic requirement to pater a loiva than being a schayiv to the malva. To be a schayiv, the money has to go into his rishus, to pater himself. As long as the malva is agreeable to pater, it's no less than any mechila. Therefore, ask the Nesivus, when the shayil tells the mashal, send it with your Eved Kanani, if it never went into the rishus of the shayil, even if the mashal acted at the shayil's behest, nevertheless, since it never left the Mashal's Rishus, the Shail is going to be Potter. However, if the Mashal told the Shail, send it with your Eved Kanani, so the Mashal is telling the Shail, he's going to Potter him if he does what he asks of him. Since the Shail sent it to the Mashal through his own Eved Kanani, and the Mashal obviously is going to Potter him for that, so why wouldn't it be enough, even though he had Eved Kiyad Rabbi? How does the Shulchan Aruch draw the comparison from the fact that if the Mashal sends it through his Eved Kanani, the Shail is going to be a Potter, that if the Shail sends it through his own Eved Kanani at the behest of the Mashal, that the Shail is going to be considered Chayiv as still in Zerushos? Who cares? The Mashal pottered him. So the Nesivus proves from here and other places that the geder of Shaimrim is not comparable to the geder of a halva. A Shaimer has to return it. He needs a kinyan to be pater. It won't be enough that the mafke tells him that he's patering him. The Sivis has different approaches how to explain this. Either it's by all Shaimrim like that, because there's a chiyuv hashava when the Shaimer got it, and therefore it's not enough if the mafkin tells him that he's going to patter him without returning it. In Simon Shindal Mem, the Nesivis wants to assert that this halacha only applies to a shayil and a seicher, that he has to return it because it's a memkar l'yoyme, he has a schus in it, as if he owns it for the time that he is allotted for him to use it. Therefore, it's not shayach to him meichel. Chiyuvei shmir. There's no din shmir. He owns it. And the halacha has to return it later on. However, by regular shemrim, it could be meichel l'chiyuvei shmir, and therefore the shemrim might be potter. I'll call upon him, since our Gemara over here is talking about a shayil, there's no question, says the Nesivis, that it has to be returned to the rishus of the mashal. It's not enough that the mashal said, send it to me with your Eved Kenani and you'll be potter, because the chiyuv by a shayil, for sure, maybe by all shemrim, is to actually return it, and saying v'hi potter just verbally will not suffice. Whereas by a chayiv, if the malva tells the leiva, do X, Y, Z, v'hi potter, and you'll be potter, that will patter the leiva as long as he carried out the malva's instructions. There's no chiyuv hashava by halva. As long as the malva is satisfied to be meichel, based on certain conditions, that's enough. Now let's get back to the Gemara. The Gemara said that Rav answered the Gemara's kash. The Gemara asked, Yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, so why, if the Mashal sent it through his Eved Kenani based on the Shayel's instructions, is the Shayel Chai right away? What do you mean? It never left the Mashal's Rishus. So Rav answered, Nasa Ka'imer Loi, Hikishav Makal Vitovai. When the Shayel says, send it through Eved Kenani, it's as if he said, hit it with a stick and it'll come. And therefore, when it goes out of the Mashal's Rishus, the Shayel is going to be Chai. The Gemara asks, from a braisa, the Gemara proves that it can't be nasa koimer loy. It's an automatic thing when he says send it with your Eved Kenani, as if he said hikishav makal v'tovai. So the Gemara answers, no, it must mean in our Mishnah when it says that he told him send it with your Eved Kenani, that the shayil is going to be chayiv, even though yad Eved Kiyad Rabbi, it's talking about a case where he said hikishav makal v'tovai, hit it with a stick and it'll come to me, it'll leave you rishus. Therefore, the shayil is chayiv. That he sent it together with his Eved Kenani, that doesn't hurt. But the Iker Chiyuv is because he said, Hikishav Makal V'Tovai. That's how Rav's going to have to explain the Mishnah. Now, Taisus writes that according to Shmuel, if Shimon said, Hikishav Makal V'Tovai, Shmuel's going to say he's going to be Potter. Shmuel argues in Rav. There's a big machlekes in the Rishayin in whether Shmuel argues in Rav or they just say different terutzim, but there is no machlekes l'aloha. However, Taisus proves from the fact that on the next Gemara, where the Gemara brings a raya to Rav from the Brayis of Ashleni Paroscha, and the Shayel said, Akisha Makal V'Tavoy, the Brayis says, once it leaves the Rishus of the Mashal, the Shayel is Chayiv. So, L'chor Yitzim Mufurish, a Brayis like Rav, and Rav Ashi rejects the raya, Rav Ashi sets aside a case where it's talking about that the Chotzer of the Shayel is further in than the Chotzer of the Mashal, and therefore it for sure was going to the Shayel's Rishus. That's why the Shayel is Chayiv, but if it was going to Rishus Rabim, then it wouldn't be Chayiv. Rav Ashi is willing to explain the Brayis in a very dochuktik way in order to avoid having to explain it like Rav, so you see that the Gemara holds that Shmuel is arguing. That's why he's willing to get involved in a dochuk to explain the Brayis. So now we really have to understand, why does Shmuel argue on Rav according to Taisus? What's the point of contention? And really, to understand why Shmuel argues on Rav, we have to understand what does Rav really hold. Taisus really asks a kasha on Rav. Rav says, once it goes out of the Rishus of the Mashal, the Shayel is Chayiv. Ask Taisus, okay, it left the Rishus of the Mashal, but how did it go into the Rishus of the Shayel that we say the Shayel is going to be Chayiv? Why does Rav hold that the Shayel is Chayiv when it leaves the Rishus of the Mashal? So Taisus answers two terutzim. Taisus' first terutz is, when it says it left the Rishus of the Mashal, and at that point the Shayel is Chayiv Acharayis, it's talking about it went to a Simta, or Tzidi Rishus HaRabim. Over there, since it's shaykh to make kinyan mashiach, mashiach cannot be done in the rishus of the makna, it has to be done in the rishus of the kaina or a simta. Chazal were makna this side street, this side area in the rishus of rabbim for the person who wants to make a kinyan. You can make mashiach there as well. So therefore, it's talking about it went to a simto or to the rishus harabim. So it's a regular case of mashiach, and therefore the shayla is zeicha in it. It's like he made a regular mashiach, and that's why it's chayiv be einsin and all achrais. However, if it went to a rishus harabim, and achrami Taisus in his first teretz holds that the shayla won't be chayiv b'achrais. Now, before we go to Taisus' second teretz, the Ritva really holds that Rashi b'chal has a totally different approach in understanding shitas rav. Taisus says the mashiach works like any regular Mashiach. However, the Ritva says Rashi is learning that Itaka didn't go into the Rishus of the Shail. There's no real Mashiach here. The reason the Shail is Chayiv is Midin Arif. Rashi's Lashon is the Shabbat Nafshe Mishutetzim Rishusay. The Shail was Meshabbat himself to pay for it, to be Achroi for it, once it leaves the Rishus of the Mashal. It's just like, says the Ritva, a case of Zerikon Aliyam, where Reuven tells Shimon, throw $100 into the yam, and I'll be chayiv to pay you for that. I'll reimburse you. That according to many Rishonim, Reuven's chayiv. That's the regular din of Arif. Lend money to somebody else, and I'll be responsible to reimburse you. And normally, by a case of Zerik Mon Aliyam, where Reuven tells Shimon, take $100 and throw it into the yam, if Reuven doesn't tell Shimon, v'schayiv l'nu l'cha, and I'll be responsible to reimburse you for that, of course, Reuven's going to be potter. However, over here, even if the Shail didn't tell the Mashal, Hikishu b'makal v'yitovoy v'eschayiv ani l'cho, he doesn't have to say expressly, I'm going to be chayiv to reimburse you, since the fact is the Shail is doing it for his own good, he's gaining from it, so it's automatically as if he said v'eschayiv ani l'cho, and therefore, the Shail is chayiv the second it leaves the Rishus of the Mashal. That's the case of Arav that we spoke about earlier. Now the Ritva actually says a beautiful beer in the Gemara based on what he just said. He explains the Gemara started out by saying that Rav said when the Shail tells the Mashal, send it with your Rebbe Ketani, it's Nasa Koimer Le'ekisha V'makal V'yitavai. It's as if he told him, hit it with a stick and it'll come. What does one have to do with the other? Why would we say that telling a Mashal, send it with your Rebbe Ketani, is comparable? It's tantamount to saying, hit it with a stick and it'll come. So the Ritva explains that everybody knows that Avadim don't have any money. There's no way he's going to be responsible for it. So he's basically telling the Mashal, send it with an Eved who's not going to be responsible. So you're putting your money at risk. So it's like I'm saying, it's as if he says, put your money at risk based on my word, and I'll be responsible for it. That's basically the same thing as saying, hit it with a stick and let it into the Rishus Rabbim based on my word, and I'll be responsible. Sending it with an Eved Kenani or hitting it with a stick into the sending it to the Rishus Rabbim is really the same thing, and that's why when he said send it with your Eved Kenani, it's as if he said, Hikisha Makal Vitovai. On that, the Gemara asked, it's not really a true comparison because hits and with a stick, and it goes to the Rishus Rabbim, there's no Havamina that it's going to be safe, and therefore, the Shail clearly was taking responsibility for it with an Arev. But sending with an Eved Ketani, true, he doesn't have any money, and he's not going to be that responsible. On the other hand, he may be very scared of his master, and therefore, it's not clear that he's going to be cavalier with watching it. He may be very serious about watching it, and therefore it's not self-understood that the Shail intended on accepting responsibility for the para while it's under the watch of the Eved Kenani. So that's what the Gemara says. Taka means that he said expressly, Hekisha Mako V'yitavai, where he expressly accepted responsibility for the para once it leaves the Rishos of the Mashal. Now getting back to Taisus gives a second teretz, which is already the third mahalach that we're mentioning. How does Rav hold that if he said Hikisha Makal V'Yitovai when it leaves the Rishos of the Mashal, that the Shail is Chayiv, when did it go into the Shail's Rishos? Taisus' second teretz is it's talking about Itak went to the Rishos of Rabbim, not into the Simta, as Taisus originally said. Rather, it went to the Rishos of Rabbim. And generally, that's not considered a valid Mashiach. However, in regards to the halacha of chiyuv einsin, that a shayla was responsible for the loss of the para, such a mashicha is enough. If it goes to the Rishus HaRabim, it's not enough to make a kinyan on it, to be sayach on it, but it's enough to accept responsibility as a shayla. Taisus brings a riot to this, as we find that according to Rav Huna, mashicha is kaina to be chayiv in einsin, even though it's not kaina for the shayl to be zaychenet, that the mashal cannot recant on the loan. So you see, a mashicha can do a quasi kinyan; it can force responsibility, achrayis einsin, on the shayl, even though the shayl is not going to really be zaycha in this paro or this kardin that the Gemara talks about later on. And really, Taisus needs to be explained, because Taisus is comparing a Mashiach and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, which is not a Mashiach at all, to a Mashiach that Rav Huna says is Mechayev the Shail and Einsin, but not Mechayev the Mashal to leave it by the Shail. The Mashal can request the Kardim or the Parah back from the Shail. The Chayra, that Mashiach is a proper Mashiach. It just doesn't do the full job of being Zeichanet for the Shail, but it's still a Mashiach. Mashiach and Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is not a Mashiach at all. The Chayyur, what Taisus means to say is that the Chiyuv Achrayis Einsin for the Shayl is not based on a real Kinyan. That's what we see from Rav Huna. He's Takanat Zeichanet. Nevertheless, he's Chayyur Achrayis Einsin, because the idea of Achrayis Einsin on the Shayl is just once the Bailam are misalik themselves, they go away from the item that they're lending, either by leaving it there and relying on the Shail to watch it, or allowing it to go to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on the basis of the Shail's word, or for that matter, a Mashiach that the Shail takes into his Rishos, whatever it is, it's not that the Shail is Zeichen it, the Mashal can ask for it back. Nevertheless, since there's Siluk Bailam, the Bailam are removed from watching the Chayfetz, at that point automatically the Shail becomes Achroi, becomes responsible for the well being of the object that he is going to borrow. In a nutshell, Taisus is proving that the Achrayis Einsin is not based on a real kinyan, that the shayl is zaycha in the item. There are two distinct issues. So it comes out, based on what we said, that there are three approaches that we mentioned as to why Rav holds a second that leaves the Rishus of the Mashal, even though the shayl l'chayr wasn't zaycha in it, the shayl is chayv Achrayis. The first mahalach we mentioned from Taisus is that no, the Shail was takazaychanet, it went into a simta, it went into a tzidei Rishus HaRabim, areas where Mashiach is kaina, and therefore the Shail was takazaycha in the para that he's borrowing. Taisus' second heretz is he wasn't zaychanet, it went into the Rishus HaRabim. Nevertheless, to be chayv achrayis einsin, it doesn't take a maisa kinyan as long as it's not under the watchful eye of the Bailam anymore. At that point, the Shail is Chayv Achrayis, even though his taka wasn't Zeichanet. The third mahalach we mentioned is Rashi, according to the Ritva, the Shail taka wasn't Zeichanet when it leaves the Rishus of the Mashal. Nevertheless, the Shail is Chayiv, midin Arev. It's just like a case of Zerikmon Aliyam, where somebody says, take your money and throw it into the Yam, and I'll pay you for it, that the person who said that is responsible to reimburse the one who taka wasted money, based on the Sayer's word. Here too, the Shail said, let it come to the Rishus HaRabim. Obviously he meant, it'll be under my responsibility, and therefore he's chayv to pay midin Arev. Now, each one of these three tirutzim are not without chiddush. Let's take Rashi's teretz, for example. Rashi says the chiyuv, according to the Ritva, the chiyuv will be midin Arev. Now, that's B'chalat Pasha. There's a big machlaikis, the Rashba and the Ramban, and Kedushin Dav Zayin. If somebody says, Reikman al-Yam v'aschayvan al-Kha, Reuben tells Shimon, take $100, throw it into the Yam, and I'll pay you for it. We mentioned the Ritva holds, and according to Rashi over here, and that's Shidus Ramban and Kedushin, that Reuben will be chayv. That's the regular din of Arev. However, the Rashba holds, there is no din of Arev unless somebody else gets the money. If Shimon gives money to Levi based on Reuven's say-so,
It says, considers as if Reuven got the money. That's the idea of Ari. But if Shimon throws money in the water, based on Reuven's say-so, there is no chiyuv Arev, as nobody was netted from that. Likewise, if, according to the Rashba, Reuven tells Shimon, let your par go into the street, and I'll be achray for it, there is no din Arev, as nobody gains from the par going into the street. True, eventually it will allow the shayl to be able to take the par. Nevertheless, right now, nobody was nana, and therefore, we can easily understand why Taisus does not want to explain the sugya according to the Mahalach the Ritva explains in Rashi. Now, regarding Taisus's second teretz, that it's taka not a good mashiach, nevertheless, the shayl is chayiv ba'insin because it left the watch of the mashal, that's also not pashut at all. True, Shitas HaTaisvus in this teretz and on the bottom of the omer is that we can be mechayev a shayel b'oinsin even if he never made any ma'isa mashicha, as long as there's siluk b'ayelim, it's enough to be mechayev the shaymer, it's enough to be mechayev the shayel. Nevertheless, Shitas HaRambam and others is that there is no chiv achrayis on a shayel unless he makes a kinyan mashicha or another kinyan, but there has to be a kinyan to facilitate the achrayis on the shayl or any shaymer, for that matter. But siluk bailam is not enough to mechayiv chivay oitzer on the shayl. Therefore, Taisus's teretz l'chayru will not work according to the Rambam and those are shaylim that learn like him. If went into Rishus Arabim, there's no mashicha there. There's no kinyan, and therefore, there's no achrayis on the shayla. We'll discuss this Beis Hashem soon when we get to the bottom of the Amud. Now, Taisus Taka brings a raya from Rav Huna that you see that he can be chayev achrayis einsin without being zaycha in the para for himself. The mashal can recant, but there's still achrayis einsin. That is because the Rambam would say there was a real mashicha, there was a kinyan mashicha in chayev einsin. But if there's no proper kinyan mashicha, there's no achrayis einsin at all, and siluk b'ayelam is not going to be enough to mechayev einsin or any achrayis on the shayl, or any shaymer for that matter. Now, we mentioned the third mahalach, namely the first teretz in Taisus. Taisus suggests that the reason Rav holds that he's chayv achrayis einsin is because, talking about it, went into a simta, went into tzidir shos rabim, and therefore the shayl was eichen, and that's why he's chayv when he said a kisha machal yitova, according to Rav. Now, this teretz in Taisus is an incredible chiddush. We have to examine what happened here. The shayl told the mashal, hit it with the stick, and it's going to leave your rishos. It'll come into the simta, and I'll be zayichin it. It's a kinyan mashicha. One second, who did the kinyan here? The shayl never did any kinyan. The mashal did the ma'isa mashicha for the shayl. Since when can a makna do a kinyan for a kaina? Can a makna do hagba for a kaina? How is it possible? Kaina could always make a shliach to do a kinyan for him, but to have the makna be the shliach for the kaina, there's no such a thing. L'chayr. Yet Taisus says over here, the mashal is doing the ma'isa mashicha, he's hitting the para. The para is going, and that's going to work as a kinyan for the shayl. L'chayr, it's a tremendous, tremendous chiddush. However, the mabit paskins that a meicher can be a shliach for the kaina to do a mashicha. Shar Mishpat says the Mabit really can base his Mahalach, his Psak, on Taisus' first Teretz over here, where we find that the Makna, who is the Mashal in this case, can do a Maisa Kinyan Mashicha for the Shayl. However, the Shar Mishpat says, according to the other Rishayim's Mahalachim that we mentioned, according to Rashi, according to his second Teretz, or if we're going to say over here the Shayl was Eichenet because of Kinyan Dal Ramas, if we learn any other mahalach from Taisus' first teretz, we have no right from here that a makna can do a ma'isa kinyan for a kaina. I'll call upon him. However we're going to explain Rav, there's a tremendous chiddush in any of these three mahalachim. Therefore, it's already becoming clearer why Shmuel may choose to argue. Actually, more than that, we mentioned that according to Rashi's mahalach, that's Medin Arev, it could be that Shmuel holds there's no din Arev by Zerik Mon Eliam. The Rambam Yosef really asked a kasha on Shmuel. How could Shmuel argue on Rav? The chayr is a regular case of Zrikmon Aliyam, that's Chayav Ani Lecha. The Rambam Yosef understands that Shmuel is not going to argue on this point. He understands that it's universal amongst them and Yeroim. It's not going to be Machlekes on Yeroim in this point that it's Machlekes Hashayinim. If that's the case, why does Shmuel argue? Kisha B'Makol V'Tavai L'Chayr is the same thing as Zrikmon Aliyam, that's Chayav Ani Lecha. So the Rambam Yosef answers, the reason Shmuel argues is because over here he didn't say Vaschayv Anilcha. If he said Hekishu Makal V'Yitovay Vaschayv Anilcha, then Anachanami, Shmuel wouldn't argue. The whole Machlekes Rav and Shmuel is, in this case, if he has to say Vaschayv Anilcha, according to Rav, it's self-understood without saying it. According to Shmuel, it's not self-understood, and therefore he's Potter. But if he said Tak Vaschayv Anilcha, he's going to be Chayv for sure, according to everybody. Then the Rambam Yosef writes another sort. It could be Shmuel holds it's not considered as Zrikmon Aliyam as Chayav Ani Lecha. Even if he said as Chayav Ani Lecha, Shmuel still will argue. Even if he normally holds Zrikmon Aliyam as Chayav Ani Lecha as Chayav, over here, Shmuel will say that he's going to be Potter, and the reason is because it's not comparable to Zrikmon Aliyam. It's not comparable to somebody throwing his money into the ocean, because over there, when Reuben tells Shimon, throw your money into the Yam, and I'll be Chayav to you, the second Shimon listens to Reuven, there's no way that Shimon can retrieve the money. Therefore, it's clear that Reuven is going to be chayiv, as Shimon lost his money based on Reuven's say-so. However, over here, when he said, Hekisha makal v'yitovai, Reuven, the mashal, can retrieve his behemoth at any time. He wasn't mitzi hitzois al pi Shimon the shayil. There's no loss here. He can get it back whenever he wants to. Therefore, according to Shmuel, even if he said, Hekisha makal v'yitovai v'eschayav ani lecha, still, it's not going to be considered a chiyuv of Arev. Reuven, the mashal, was never hoitzi hoitzois al pi Shimon, as he can always take it back. He did not put his money at any risk. He did not take the money and lose it, like the cases of Rekon Eliam, and therefore Shimon the Shail is not going to be chayiv. Rav holds that it doesn't matter if he can retrieve it. Still, that's considered enough of a hitzayitzayis al piv to be chayiv al tzariv. So the Rambam Yosef says, even if he normally holds Rekman Eliyam as chayiv al-lecha is chayiv, there are two svaris to say that I'll be potter by Hekisha makal v'yitovai, either because he didn't say as chayiv al-lecha or because it's retrievable. And Rav holds those two svaris are not reasons to pater. Of course, we could say that Shmuel B'chol doesn't hold the Zrikmon Aliyam as Chayav Ani Lecha as Chayav. Therefore, we can explain the Machlokes to Rav and Shmuel in any one of these different Eifanim. And if we hold that Zrikmon Aliyam as Chayav Ani Lecha is Potter, like the Rashba, maybe we could say that that's the Machlokes to Rav and Shmuel, but that's a big deichik, to say that the Machlokes to Rishayim is the same Machlokes as Rav and Shmuel. Therefore, we'll say that Rav holds that Hekisha Makal V'Tovoy is Machayev the Shayel, either because it went into a Simtar or Tzidir Shas Rabim, and it works also Mashiach. And Shmuel can argue, based on the Svaro we mentioned earlier, it's a tremendous Chiddush, that the Mashal could do a Kinyan for the Shayel. Shmuel holds he can't, and therefore Shmuel argues and says that the Shayel is going to be Potter. And if we're going to learn, takes a second Teretz, that Rav holds that the Shayel is Chayev because there's Siluk Bailim, Shmuel disagrees and says that Siluk Bailim is not enough to Mechayiv Chiyuv Shmira on the Shayel. It needs an actual Kinyan like the Rambam. Now really, the Shach says this. The Shach says that the Rosh Paskins like Rav, that Hekisha Makal V'Yitovai is Chayiv, and he says Shmuel wasn't arguing it Bechal, is because the Rosh L'Shitasei holds that Siluk Bailim is enough to Mechayiv a Shomer on Chiyuv Shmira. So likewise, Hekisha Makal V'Yitovai is Mechayiv the Shayel and Achrayis Einsin because there was Siluk Bailim. However, according to the Rambam that holds that you need a Maisa Kinyan to Mischayev V'chiyuvei Einsin or any Achrayis Shmira on the Shomer, of course, Hekisha Makal V'Yitovai will not be Mechayev the Shayel. And since the Rambam holds you need a Maisa Kinyan to Mechayev Achrayis Shmira, the Rambam is going to have to hold, not like Rav, he'll have to pass him like Shmuel. So really, you see the way the Shach understood the Machlokes. The Chayyur they're arguing in this point is the Achrayis Shmira
only after there's a Maisa Kinyan, and that's what Shmuel holds, and therefore the Rambam is going to pass on like Shmuel and not like Rav? Or do we hold that Acharei Shmir comes about by Siluk Bailam, when the Bailam stop watching the item that's the Pikadoin, and therefore there's no Machlaikas Rav and Shmuel? They both hold Siluk Bailam is enough to be Machayiv Chiyuvei Shmir. But if Rav and Shmuel are arguing, says the Shach, they are arguing in this point whether there is Chiyuvei Shmira just by Siluk Bailam or Dinu Maisa Kenya. There's one more approach that we can use to explain the Machlaikas Rav and Shmuel, according to Taisus second Teretz, that is talking about that it went to Lushos Rambam, and regarding the Chiyuv Einzon, it's enough to make a Mashiach and Lushos Rambam. We can explain this Teretz slightly differently than we did before. It could be the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel in such a case is Rav holds that regarding Chiyuv Einzon, it's enough to make Mashiach and Lushos Rambam. True, it's not a proper Mashiach in a classic sense. A Mashiach normally has to be done Rosh Hashayachid of the kain, or at least a simter to the Rosh Rabin. Nevertheless, for Chiyuvei Shmira on a Shomer, it's enough to make a weaker kind of Mashiach, even in Rosh Rabin. Whereas Shmuel holds that a Mashiach in Rosh Rabin is not a Mashiach at all. The reason they're arguing is because there's really a Chakira that Rabbi Zalman in Eben Ezel talks about. He's really telling him like it's Roshayim. There are several machlokes Roshayim that one could be Taila in this Chakira. What's the gedder of Kinyan Mashiach? Is Kinyan Mashiach really just a attempt to bring it into one's Rishos? That's the definition, that's the Yisoid of Kinyan Mashiach, or no? Kinyan Mashiach is the Maisa Mashiach is Kaina. Grad HaChazal HaMasak, and then it has to be done in a Rishos HaYachir, or a Simta, or it's a makam that's right to make a Kinyan. But it's not that the definition of Mashiach is bringing it into your Rishos to be Kaina with your Rishos. Rather, it's the Maisa Mashiach that's Kaina. It happens to be, the Chama said, the Mokim that's right to make the Kinyan Mashiach is in a Rishus of the Kaina. If you learn that the Geder of Mashiach is that the Mashiach is just a Hechatimtza, it's the way of bringing it into one's Rishus, and he's Kaina by bringing it into the Rishus, not so much the Maisa Mashiach itself, so then we can easily understand why Shmuel holds that a Mashiach and Rishus Rabim is totally meaningless. It's not brought into the person's Rishus. It's not a Mashiach at all. Whereas Rav holds that the Kinyan Mashiach is not primarily a Hechatimtza to bring it into one's Rishus. Rather, it's a Maisa Kinyan. There's Hagbah is a Maisa Kinyan. Chotzer is a Kinyan. There's a Kinyan called Mashiach. It's a Maisa Mashiach that's Kaina. Normally, to make a real Kinyan, to own it entirely, the Chum or Masakin has to be brought in a Mokim that's Roy to be Kaina. If it's just the Mischaiv and Einzin, it's enough to make a Maisa Mashiach, even in Rosh Hashanah, and that'll be enough of a Maisa Kinyan to do this small level of Kinyan that's necessary for one to be Chayiv Bachray Shmir. It could be that's the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel, according to the second Teretz and Tosfos. And what's the exact Geder of Kinyan Mashiach? Now, let's go further in this Sugya. The Gemara continues, Amar Rav Huna, if somebody borrowed a hammer from his friend, if he used it, he's zaycha in the kardim for the term of the loan, and the mashal cannot recant, cannot ask for the kardim back. Loy bokaboy, if he did not use it, leiknoi, he wasn't zaycha. As the Gemara explains, for Achrayis Einzin, he's chayiv even from the point of Mashiach. That the Rav Huna said one has to be bekeya with a kardim in order to be zeichanet, is as we explained, it's in regards of Chazar of the Mashal, that at the point that he was bekeya with it, he used it, the shimush of the kardim, at that point the Mashal cannot, the Chazar cannot change his mind, and it's konui to the shayel for the duration of the period of the loan. And as the Gemara explains, we see that Rav Huna holds that Mashiach is not kaina for a shayel. The kinyan is properly made only when he actually uses it for what it's lent for. Now, to explain the pashtus, the chayr of the beer is, we find certain times that a person makes a kinyan with a lesser dargo of a kinyan than normal.
We find by Cheskes Tashmishin, Rav Basra Davov, in the third parak towards the end, we find that if somebody uses somebody else's reshus, not to own it, but he has a schus to use it. Somebody put a ladder in his friend's reshus, he leaned beams on his friend's wall. Halacha is at a certain point, it's called Cheskes Tashmishin, he has the schus to keep using it, and the person whose chatzar it is that he put a sulam there, the person whose wall that he's using to lean his beams against it, cannot be meicha, cannot say, stop using it. And the Ksais asks, in Simon Kufnan Gimel, Sivkot and Gimel, how was the person who's using his friend's reshus, Zaycha, in his friend's reshus, that his friend can't be meicha, can't stop him from using his wall, from using his chatzar? What right does the one who is benefiting from his friend's property have to use it and not allow the one who owns it to refrain him from continuing usage? So the Ksais explains, when a person zeicha in his friend's item or friend's property, just as chos shimosh, not that he owns it mamish, that he has to make a proper kinyan. If it's a metaltal, he has to make mashicha or hagma. If it's karki, he has to make chazoko or shtar or kesef. If it's just a schus to use it, a schus shimush, in such a case, the darga of kinyan, the level of the kinyan he has to make, is a lesser level. Just a shimush alone, by using it, that gufa is going to be zeichanit for the person who wants to be zeichan his friend's property. The Ksais bases that on the Gemara in Hamoicher Peiris, by Master Dafkuf, that if somebody is zeichan his friend's path between his vineyards, Reuven wants to walk through Shimon's vineyards, there's a path there, and he wants to be Zaycha in the right to use it. If Reuven wants to be Zaycha in the right to use Shimon's Shvil Shel Kramim, the path between his vineyards, the Gemara says over there that he's Zaycha it by going there, by walking through it, he's kinda the Schus Shimush, the Schus to walk through Shimon's Shvil Shel Kramim by actually walking. We find the Musig of being Zaycha in a Schus Shimush in his friend's object or his friend's property by being mishamish, by using it. Therefore, the real kinyan for being zeicha in the mashal's kardim to use it is by actually using it. That Ravuna holds is the real kinyan to be zeicha in schos shimush. According to this mahalach, the parash this is that he's taka zeicha mediraisa once he's bakabai. However, the Ritva understands that Bakaboy, Enyo Halachzerboy, is only a takona. Mikra din, the mashal can back out Minatoyra whenever he wants. And the reason is because Minatoyra, there is no kinyan, according to the Ritva, to be Zaycha, according to Rehuna at least, to be Zaycha in the Chayfetz Hanishal, in the item that's borrowed. However, since the Chum didn't want such situations to arise, Reuven's going to lend his hammer to Shimon, then an hour later ask for it back, it's not going to create good situations, it's not a good thing. Therefore, the Chum said, once Shimon used it, Reuven cannot back out. But Minat Torah Mikra Adin, he could back out even after Shimon used it, and it's only Takana. Now the Ritva asks, why weren't the Chum Mesakin Meshicha, according to Rav Huna, why weren't the Chum Mesakin Meshicha regarding this as well, that the Mashal can't back out? Why do we need the shayl to actually use it before we disallow the mashal to back out? So the Ritva explains the takana of the kinyan mashicha is only by mecher. They weren't masakin it by a kinyan that's less than a mecher, less than a sale, and therefore there's no takana of mashicha by a shayl, by a borrowing. Now, getting back to the Gemara, we mentioned Shitas Rav Huna that for the chiyuv shmir, for the chiyuv einsin, for a shayl, that starts at the point of Mashicha. For the kinyan in the item that he's borrowing, that only happens when he starts using it. The Gemara says, Repliga Rabbi Ami. Rav Huna argues in Rav Ami. The Gemara proves that Rami holds that if Reuven lends a hammer that belongs to Hedish to Shimon, so Reuven is mayel by lending it, by just giving it to Shimon, and Shimon's allowed to use it. So you see from there, the Gemara says that there's a kinyan for the shayla immediately upon receiving the kardoim. He doesn't have to wait till he uses it, because if the shayla wasn't consummated by just doing mashicha, by just taking it, it would be forbidden for him to use it afterwards because it's still not his. It never went out of the rishus of Hagdish. Why was Reuven Moyel? Why did he do Me'ilah immediately? This whole thing can be undone by just not using it. It's mochach that the Me'ilah happened. The taking it out of the rishus of Hagdish happened. The Shiloh was consummated at the point of Mashiach. The Gemara says that Rav Huna argues on Rabbi Elazar as well. Rabbi Elazar says, "Kederach shtiknu Mashiach v'lekucha istach kach tiknu Mashiach v'shaimu." Just like they were masakein Mashiach by purchasing by shaimrim as well, the chomer masakein Mashiach. Now the lashon of the Gemara is "Kederach shtiknu b'Mashiach v'lekucha istach tiknu Mashiach v'shaimrim." The Gemara is clear that it's a takana that meikur hadin mediraisa. It's not going to be a kinyan. It's only the chomer made such a takana. Now, what's a diraisa? If that's a takana of Mashiach, so where is he zayich and mediraisa? So either, as we said earlier, it could be mediraisa, you need, according to everybody, tchila shimush, he has to use it. And just that there were mesakin that you could consummate the shiloh even by Mashiach. Or it could be, as we mentioned from the Ritva before, that there's no kinyan at all mediraisa to consummate the shiloh. The shiloh can always be forced to return it when the mashal says that he wants it back. Whatever the case is, it's clear that it's a takana that Mashiach works. Now, there's machlokes the Rambam and Tosfos as to understanding what Mashiach works for. According to Tosfos, Tosfos writes that you don't need Mashiach to be chayv and einsa. Tosfos, as we mentioned earlier, holds that by siluk of the Bailam, when the Bailam will leave the chayvetz by the Shomer, even if the Shomer doesn't actually do a ma'aseh kinyan of Mashiach, the Shomer will still be responsible the second the Bailam go away. He bases it on the Gemara and the Peyamud Beis when the Shomer says, Hanach Lefonai, leave it by me, and he leaves, the Shomer is automatically responsible at that point. So Taisa understands our Gemara to mean that Mashiach is the Kenyan for a Shiloh, or really for all Shomerim, as the Gemara says. It means that regarding a Shoyel or a Soichar, at that point the transaction between them, the transaction of the rental or of the borrowing, is consummated, and the mashal or master cannot recant, they can't ask for the item back. It will stay at the shoyel or at the soicher's rishus until the term of the shiloh, until the term of the schirus is finished. However, shitas harambam, the way all the acharnim explain the Rambam, is that not only does Mashiach act as the point of consummating the Shiloh, as the consummating point of the Schirus, so the Mashal or Masker cannot go back on their word, they must leave the item that's rented or borrowed by the Seichar or Shail. Not only that, but even Legabe the Chiyuv Achrayis, until a Shomer makes a Ma'aseh Kinyan Mashiach, or a different Kinyan, but until there's a Ma'aseh Kinyan done on the item that's being watched, rented, or borrowed, there is no chiyuvei shmira on the shomer as well. Therefore, if the mashal left the animal by the shayel, but the shayel didn't do a mashicha and it died, the shayel will be potter. It's not only that the shayel didn't consummate the kinyan until he did mashicha, but in fact, he didn't even start his shayel until he did mashicha, and he's not going to be chay b'achrayis at all without a kinyan. Now, we mentioned the Shita of Taisus and the Rosh that Siluk HaBailim is what starts the Chiyuv Achrayis on the Shomer, and that's based on the Gemara Daf Pei that if he says Hanach Lefonai, it's Mashma, when he says just leave it in front of me and the Bailim leaves, that's enough to Mechayiv the Shomer B'Achrayis. You don't need a Kinyan Mashiach for the Chiyuv Achrayis of a Shomer. The truth is there's a Machlokes in this Shita as well. Taisus and the Rosh are not exactly the same Shita. Tosfos understands that by Shomer Chinam and Shomer Sachar, yes, the Chiyuv Achrayis comes immediately with Siluk HaBailam, when the Bailam leave the Chayfetz by the Shomer, and you don't need a Kinyan to be this Chayyab Achrayis. However, Shoyel Tosfos is over here, to be Chayyab Achrayis actually needs Mashicha, and without it, it won't be Chayyab Achrayis like a Shoyel. The Rosh says there's no difference. The Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Seicher, Shoyel, they're all chayav b'achrayis by Siluk HaBailam. However, Tosfos holds that only is by Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, by a shayel, that will not apply. And the reason is because when you want to be mechayev of the shayel ba'einsin,
The reason the shayla is chayiv ba'ainsin is because he's zayich on the chayfetz and he's mechuyev to return it. If he doesn't return it, he didn't fulfill his obligation of returning the item that he took. By shemachinim shemasachar, the halacha is he has to watch it. He's not kaina the chayfetz and then he has to return it because he has to return when he was kaina. Rather, he has to watch it and he's only going to pay if he didn't watch it properly. By shayla, however, he has to pay even by ainsin because he's taka zayich on the chayfetz, and to reach such a darga
of chiyuv to actually have a kinyan in it, to be chayv and einzin, he definitely has to do a meshicha according to Taisus. According to the Rush, there's no difference. As long as it's siluk bailim, each shayim is going to be chayiv according to his din respectively, and therefore a shayil will be chayiv and einzin by siluk bailim as well. However, the Machne Ephraim asks a kasha on the sheet of Taisus and the Rush in the beginning of Perek Zayin of Hilchas Shomrim. Now, Ephraim asks, how could you mechayiv a shomer just by siluk bailim without a kinyan mashicha? What's the mechanism? Why should the shomer be chayiv achrayis just by telling the bailim to leave it and go? Now, Ephraim's understanding, l'chayra, the chiyuv would be midin arif. We like Zerik Mon Aleyam, where some say that there's a chiyuv of Ariv in such a case. However, the Machne Ephraim says it's not going to work. The Rush himself holds that Zreik Mon Aliyam Aschayav Anilcha is Potter. That's what the Rush paskins. So, how could the Rush say that if the Shomer tells the Mafkid, leave it here, I'll watch it, don't worry, and the Mafkid goes away, at that point the Shomer is Chayav Achrayis, even if you're going to say it's comparable to Zreik Mon Aliyam Aschayav Anilcha, when somebody tells his friend, put your money at risk, and I'll reimburse you for it. L'chayr, the Machne Ephraim understands that this is comparable, but still, the Rosh holds in such a case, it'll be potter. How here could the Rosh hold that he's chayv b'achrayis just by saying, leave it here? And more than that, the Machne Ephraim says, nobody says one is chayv by Zerik Mon Aliyam without saying v'schayv v'nilcha. Over here, the Shomer just said hanach l'fana. He just said, leave it. He didn't say v'schayv v'nilcha. According to everyone, there shouldn't be a chiv arim. So what are you going to say? That the reason that the Shomer's chayiv is Medina de Garmi, he caused the hefsid based on his word. The mafkid left the item there and he brought about the hefsid. And therefore the chayiv is not else ori, but rather else garmi. He caused the hefsid to the mafkid. Ask the Machne Ephraim, that still is very shver, because why do we say that the Shomer is going to have to swear or shvur that he wasn't Pesheya? If we know he was Pesheya, then there's what to talk about. It's possible that the Chiv was Medina de Garmi. But if we don't know that, a person can't be Mashbia, his friend, a shvur that you weren't Pesheya, that you didn't cause me a Hefsid, unless he's certain. Yet by a Shomer, the Mafkid can be Mashbia, the Nifkad, make him swear that he wasn't Pesheya. Even though the Mafkid doesn't know for certain. That's because it's a parsha. Shvur's a Shomer. A Shomer has a responsibility to the mafkid to guarantee and prove that he wasn't Pesheya. But if the whole chiyuv was Medina de Garmi over here, then how could the mafkid ever mashpia make the nifkat swear that he wasn't Pesheya? Ilmaisi is not certain that the shomer was indeed Pesheya. So the Machne Ephraim has a hard time understanding Shitas HaTaisus on the Rosh, that there's a chiyuv achrayas on the shomer even before he made a kinyan on the pikadon. Now, l'chayra, tatz machrayim's kasha, one would have to say that Taisus and the Rosh understand the second the Bailam leave, that itself means that the person who's watching it is considered a shomer. He's watching it. That's the definition of a shomer. He wasn't zayich in the schusim of a shayla until the Mashiach. But given the status of a shomer, that happens by the mere fact that he's watching it, and that he assumed responsibility to make sure it won't be damaged or destroyed. The definition of a shomer is the person who's watching it. That's the parasha of shomerim. You don't need a ma'ase kinyan to be a shomer. To be zeichen, a schus to use it afterwards, that Taisus understands that you need to make a ma'ase kinyan, because that's a schus that the shoyel wants to get to be kaina in the thing that he's borrowing. But the chiyuvei shmira, the definition of shomer is somebody who's watching it, even if he didn't do a ma'aseh kinyan. As long as the responsibility, the onus of watching it is on the shomer's shoulders and not on the bailam. It's not Medina de Garmi, and it's not Medina Arav, it's Medin Parsha Shomer. And that comes by saying, Hanach Lefanai, and the bailam leaving.
Now, getting back to the Gemara,
we mentioned the Gemara says, "Kashem shetiknu mashicha lekuchos kach tiknu mashicha b'shemrim."
It's clear from the Gemara that the idea of mashicha b'shemrim is a takana, it's a rabbana, l'chayr. Yet the question on that is, the Gemara just mentioned before that that Rav Ami holds that if Reuven took a kardom of Hegdish and lent it to Shimon, Shimon is going to be able to use it because the Mi'ilah transpired at the point of the Mashiach, and therefore Shimon is allowed to use the hammer and Reuven was already Mael. The question is, if Mashiach by Shimon is only a Drabbanon, how could it be that the Mi'ilah transpired immediately at the point of Mashiach? Madiraisa, nothing happened. You could totally undo the Shiloh by giving it back. Why is Shimon allowed to continue using the Karadim, and why was Reuven Moel at that point? The Mashiach is only with the Rabbanon. Now, Taisus and Baba Kama, the Fine Test, really explains that Rav Ami's Shita is that Mashiach is kind of by Shemrim Madirai, so there are really three Shitas in the Gemara. Rav Huna holds there's no Mashiach by Shemrim. Rav Ami holds that Mashiach by Shemrim works Madirai, so. And Rav Elazar holds that Mashiach by Shemrim works with the Rabbanon. So Meila, according to Rav Ami, that there is Meila at the point of Mashiach, that's because he holds Mashiach by Shemrim is Madirai, so. But Rabbi Lazar says that Mashiach by Shemrim is only in Takana, doesn't hold like that. He holds that the Me'ilah would come about only later on. However, the problem is, according to the Rambam, you can't answer like that. The Rambam paskins both Rav Ami's halacha, that somebody who borrows a karadim from his friend and the karadim was Hegdish, the Me'ilah transpired by the Mashiach already. And yet the Rambam paskins expressly the Lashon of our Gemara that Mashiach by Shemrim is only a takana. How do you reconcile those two psakim? If Mashiach by Shemrim is only the Rabbanon, why do we say that the Mila happened already and Shimon may use the Kardoim? Madiraisa, nothing happened yet. So there is a lot of back and forth in the Achronim in relation to this Rambam, whether we say Kinyan the Rabbanon helps Madiraisa. There's a famous Machlekes Rishonim, whether someone makes a Kinyan that only works with the Rabbanon, does it help? For the Raisa the Gedinim, if we say the King the Rabbanon is Mahanil Madiraisa, it could be that true Mashiach by Shemrim is only the Rabbanon. Nevertheless, once the Chomer Masakein that Mashiach works for Shemrim, it will create the Raisa the Gedin, and therefore the Mila transpired immediately upon Mashiach, and that's why the Shail can actually use the Kardam afterwards. However, it's not a push to answer like that. The Stipler in Simon Lamed Vav holds that the Shittas Rambam is that Enachnami Mashicha by Shemrim is really Madiraisa, because the Rambam holds that every place that there's no Kinyan Kesef, let's say a present or an Aveda, things like that, where it's not Shaykh to make a Kinyan with Kesef, Mashicha works Madiraisa. It's only by a Kinyan that we say that Kesef is Kaina and Mashicha is only Madirabana. Therefore, the Rambam holds that by Shemrim there is no Kinyan Kesef. Nobody pays to be a Shemer. Therefore, a Shemer Chinam, Shemer Sachar, and Shail are actually kind of with Mashiach and Madir Raisa. That the Rambam Paskin, that there's Mashiach Madir Rabbanon from a Takanos Chazal, by Shemer he means it only regarding a Seicher, regarding a renter. And the reason is because by a Seicher, it's Shaykh make a Kenyan Kesef. Therefore, the Chomer and the Takana, the Mashiach works, but that's only the Rabbanon. But where there's not any possibility to do Kinyan Kesef, Mashiach will clearly work with the Araisa, and therefore by Shem Rechinam, Shem Rasachar, and Shail, actually, with the Araisa, the Shemer is Kaina b'Mashiach. And that's why the Rambam says that the Shail of the Kardam of Hegdish will not be over Me'ilu when he uses it, as the Mashiach was the point of Me'ilah Madiraisa. Now, Taisus here really touched on that idea to say that the takana of Mashiach by Shemrim means regarding Schirus, that there's Kenyan Kesef Madiraisa and the Ramon and Masakin Mashiach. However, Taisus was Madchala. Taisus rejected that because there's no real Kesef by Schirus until the end. Schirus ain't a Mashtalem, a little bit safe. One doesn't have to pay for a rental until he returns it. Therefore, we can't say that there is really Kesef and they just were masaking Mashiach as well, because there is no Kesef until the end, and
Therefore, we can't say midiraisa there should be kinyan kesef, and they were just masakin mashiacha, because there's midiraisa no kesef either until the end, and we're talking about being koina the schirus. However, the stifle does accept this teresa in the Rambam, so it's possible to pay for the rental beforehand, and therefore the Rambam understands, since it's possible to pay for the rental, and one can be koina the schirus then, immediately by the beginning through kesef, even though it doesn't have to. The Chachamim nevertheless made a takana to allow Mashiach to be kaina. Over there by Schiras is where we say Mashiach is kaina midrabanan by all of the Shemrim. As we said, Mashiach will be kaina midiraisa because there is no possibility even for Kinyan Kesef. Now, referring back to the Shittas Rambam, that one needs to do Mashiach in order to be chayiv even by Achrayas Shmir, not just to consummate the Kinyan of the Shailah for the good of the Shail. We have to mention that there's a big difference between the two halachas of Mashiach. The halacha of Mashiach, in order to be zaycha in it, that the mashal or the masker can't recant, that we said is only midrabana, unless we're going to explain like the stipler does. But the pashta says that that point is only midrabana by all the shomer. However, legavi the halacha, the Rambam writes that there's no chiyuv achrayis unless there is a Mashiach al-chayr, that's midiraisa. It has nothing to do with takon. Because if not, how was Hashem ever chayiv b'chiyuv shmira midiraisa? So it must be according to the Rambam that the Mashiach makes him chayiv b'chiyuv shmira midiraisa. With Rabbanon, the Mashiach works to consummate the Shiloh or the Schir, is how we're going to learn the Shittas Rambam. But midiraisa, for sure, Mashiach makes it that he's chayiv b'chiyuv shmira. He's responsible for the pikkudin. According to that, the Ksaisa asks the Kasha, in Reis HaGal of Siv Katan Hey, why does the Gemara have to be Mamayit? In the fourth parak, Shtarais from Chiyuv Shmira, the Gemara learns a Klal or Prat or Klal, that has to be Devar Metaltal of Gufay Mama, and Kitanish or Yeo Kesav Akeil and Lishmar, has to be something that's Metaltal and has intrinsic value. The Gemara is Mamayit, the Vodm Shtarais for Karkois, that there's no Chiyuv Shmira on them. Ask the Ksaisa, why do we need to be Mamayit Shtarais from Chivei Shmira, from the Klal Prat Klal, without that? It's not possible for the Shomer to be Chayiv on Shmira for Shtaris, because Mashiach isn't Koina by Shtaris. The Klal is for somebody to be Koina a Shtar from his friend. It has to do Ksiva Masir. The seller has to write a Shtar, giving over the Schus of the Shtar that he's selling to the Kaina, and he has to give a star over to the Kaina as well. It's called Yinid Ksiva Mesira. Mashiach alone will not suffice to transfer a star from one person to the next. According to that, asking Sais, how could a Shomer ever be a Shomer on Shtaris anyways? Giving it over won't be enough to make a Kinyan on the star. It would need a Ksiva as well. It would need a star that the Mafkin is being mafkid the star by the shomer. And since there is no such a star, there's no star of giving something over, giving a star over to somebody else as a pikkudin, because the star that has to be written, the ksiva, that has to be done in order to be makne star, it has to say in the star, kni lecho iu v'chol shibudei, you should be kainet together with all shibudim. That's not what happens by a pikkudin. To make somebody a shomer, it's not shayach such a ksiva. Therefore, as success, how is it possible for one to ever be koina the shtar as a pikodin? By pikodin, it's not shayach the musag, the idea of ksivu masira. So the ksais and the nasivis both give similar terutzim. The ksais answers that there is a case where one can be koina a shtar without ksivu masira, and that's by hefker. If somebody finds a shtar that was hefker, he can take it without ksivu masira and he's zayach in the shtar, because ksivu masira is only when one gives it to his friend to be. In such a case, the meicher or the noisen has to write this shtar that he's giving it over entirely to the kaina, to the mekabel matana, because if not, there is some sort of a shiba that remains by the meicher, by the noisen matana. But in a case where the meicher, the original owner, relinquished all schusim that he has in the shtar, there's no necessity to do it to be kind of a ksiva masira. One could be kind of just by taking it by itself. Therefore, the Ksai says, by a
pikadon, where he's not being makna the shtar to the nifkad, he's just giving it to him to hold. There's no chisaron that it needs ksiva masira. He's not being makna yuvachol shibude. It's just to hold the shtar for him that would suffice with a simple mashiach, and therefore we need a pasuk to my shtaris from shmirah, because without it, mashiach would be enough to actually create the status of a pikadon on that shtar. Now, getting back to the Gemara, on base, the Gemara brings a raisa, kashem shekarka niknas bekesav shtar v'chazaka, just like karkas niknas bekesav shtar v'chazaka, likewise, chirus is niknas bekesav shtar v'chazaka. The Gemara understood that the raisa means that chirus metaltim, somebody who rents a behem or a kalim, he can be kainat bekesav shtar v'chazaka. The Gemara asks, chirus mayavinte, how could one be kainat schirus of a behema with chazaka? Rashi says you need mashiach in order to be kind of behema, like any metaltlin. The more answer is, it's talking about schirus karka. That just like one buys karka with kesef shtar and chazaka, likewise one rents karka with the same kinyanim, kesef shtar and chazaka. Now, when the Gemara asks schirus mayavite, the Gemara thought it's talking about schirus metaltlin, renting, let's say, a behema. Rashi, as we said, explain the Gemara's kasha, how is it possible to rent a behemoth with chazaka? You need mashicha. What kind of chazaka is there without mashicha to be kind of behemoth? It would seem from Rashi's lashon that the kasha was only on chazaka. How do you get the chazaka? But the Ritva actually understands that the kasha differently. The Ritva brings Rashi's malach and he asks, what's the Gemara's kasha? Maybe when it says chazaka, it means mashicha. That gufa is the chazaka that we're talking about. And the Ritva says, don't explain the Gemara's kasha. The Gemara's asking, how could you be kaina schiris metaltlin bekesef? Because normally, to be kaina metaltlin, you need mashicha. That's not a kasha, because although Chachamim are masakin that one cannot be kaina metaltlin bekesef, one needs to do mashicha, the reason the Chachamim said that takana is because we're afraid if Reuven were to buy metaltlin from Shimon with kesef, let's say Reuven bought 100 pounds of chitim from Shimon, and he paid him for it. And he didn't do mashiach, he didn't take it out of Shimon's rishus. So, meanwhile, Reuven left the metaltlin by Shimon. If there's going to be a fire in Shimon's rishus, Shimon's not going to be nervous about saving it. He's not going to be tereach to save the chitim. He's going to say to Reuven, I feel terrible, but lamaisa, it's your chitim that got burnt. Nisrifu chitecha ba'aliyah, I'm very sorry, but you're going to have to swallow the loss. I'm not returning the money. It was your chitim that got burnt. That's the reason the Chachamim were masakein the takana of mashicha, that the kaina can recant from the mecher if he wants to. This way, the mecher is going to be very concerned about saving the metaltalin that he sold to Reuven. Says the Ritva, that only applies to a sale. That svara won't apply to a rental. If Reuven is renting a behemah from Shimon and there's a fire, Shimon will definitely be concerned to save that animal because it really belongs to him. It's just a rental. So the hefset is really going to be on the masker. In such a case, there's no reason to say the kesef won't work. There's no chash that the meicher, in this case the masker, will say nisrifu chitecha ba'aliyah because it's his chitim. It's the masker's chitim. He's all concerned about it. Therefore, the Ritva says that to rent metaltlin, there's no reason kesef won't do the trick. Therefore, the Ritva understands the Gemara's kasha is really just from shtar. The Braisa says one can be zaycha v'schiros with a shtar. That's one of the kinyan schiros by metaltlin. Ask the Gemara, it doesn't make sense. There is no kinyan shtar by schiros. To which the Gemara answers, and Echanan is talking about schiros karka. Al kolpanim, shitas haritva is that one can rent metaltlin bekesef. From Rashi, it's not perfectly clear what he holds legabe this. However, the Ramban understands the way Rashi learned the sugya that the Gemara was asking, how could you be kind of schiris metaltlin without mashiach? It's mashma to the Ramban that Rashi understood that kesef will not work to rent metaltlin. And the Ramban asks the same idea that the Ritva presented. Why would we say that? The chashash of nisrifu chitecha ba'aliyah doesn't apply over here. There's no reason to be concerned that the masker will let the item that the seicha rented get damaged or destroyed because it's going to be the masker's loss.
there's no question, he'll definitely try to do whatever he can to save it. Why would we say that Kinyan Kesa doesn't work for Schiris Metalflin? To which the Ramban answers, and it's really the Shita Sarash, but the Mukyesif brings that although the Svara of Nisr V'chitecha Ba'aliyah doesn't apply, nevertheless, since Kinyan Metalflin doesn't work with Kesef, that's a general rule, Schiris won't be any different, as that's comparable to a sale. The Ramban himself is not happy with this. He says, since it's theoretically impossible, such a kind of a sale, namely a schiris, to have the chashash of nisr v'chitecha ba'aliyah apply, there's no reason to say such a mechira shouldn't work with kesef alone. But al kopanim, there is a shitas Rashi, according to the Ramban, and it's definitely shitas Rash, but then okay, Yosef, that schiris metaltlin does not work with kesef, the shitas haritva, and actually Shulchan Aruch brings us lahalocha and kuf tzadik ches sifov, that Schiris Metaltlin does work with Kesef alone, does not need Mashiach. And this Machlekes is based on how we read the Gemara's Kasha over here. Is the Gemara asking from Kesef? How could you have Schiris Metaltlin with Kesef? Or is the Gemara just asking from Chazaka or Shtar, as we saw different approaches to explain the Gemara's Kasha? Now, to explain the Machlekes Rishonim, whether Schiris Metaltlin works with Kesef or not, one can attempt to explain it by really going into the Etzem Yisoid, the foundation of the Halacha of Schiris. There is a stir in Gemara's that Tosfos deals with Rav Mitzian of Zara. The Gemara says, just like there's Ainoa by Mecher, there's Ainoa by Schiris as well. And the Gemara explains, because Schiris is Memker L'Yomi. When somebody rents something to his friend, it's as if he sold him for that day or week, whatever the period of the Schiris is. However, the Gemara of Zara says clearly that one may not rent a house to a guy, because if the guy brings Avodah Zarah into the house, what happens is that the Jew is going to be over the Israel, even though he rented the house to the guy. Nevertheless, it's considered the Jew's house, as it's always considered belonging to the masker, not to the seicher. L'chayr, that's contradictory to what we just mentioned from Bab Metzia, Daftan Vavon Beis. Over there it says, that's Chirs of Mamker Liyayimim. It's taka considered a sale. It belongs to the person who's renting it. So Tosfos answers that really schiris is not a kinyan. It's not a memker liyomi. It belongs to the masker. Nevertheless, by Aina, there's a special reway, an extra word memkar. We learn from there that not only a regular sale has Aina, a schiris has the halachas of Aina as well. If you learn like Tosfos that schiris is not really a mecher, it's just a schus for the person to use it, it's easily understood the shita and the rishayim that schiris metaltlin works with kesef. Even though they were geyser that to be buy something, to be kind of something, you can't do it with kesef, but since schiris is not really a regular kinyan, it's just a schus shimush, there's no takana not to make a kinyan with kesef. If, however, you understand schiris to be really a memkal yaymei, so it's shaykh to say that once Chazal were mafkia, once they undid the Kinyan Kesef by purchasing metaltlin, since Schiris is considered a purchase as well, it's a memkar liyomei, it's understood that sheet in the Rishonim that holds that it's not shaykh to rent metaltlin with Kesef, just like you can't buy metaltlin with Kesef. So the Machlekes Rishonim that we mentioned earlier, where the Schiris metaltlin is shaykh, the Kesef is l'chayr toloi in the getter of Schiris. If Schiris is a Memkar Liyomei, that's the real definition of Schiris. It's a sale for a finite amount of time. Then it'll have the same halacha as a Mecher, that you can't do it with a Kesef. If it's a new kind of transaction, it's a Schus Shimush, a Schus for the person to use it, then it has nothing to do with the Takana the Chama made, that you can't purchase something with Kesef, and therefore you'd be able to rent the Metaltlin with Kesef. Now, this really is not Mochach. You see the Ramban, right? It's actually another reason why Schiris Metaltlin should work with Kesef, even if we were to hold that Schiris really is a Memkar Liyomei, it's really a sale. Nevertheless, since it's the kind of sale that's never Shayach Bechlal, the Chshash of Nisr V'chitecha Ba'aliyah, the reason, the rationale that Chazal gave that Kesef doesn't work does not apply to Schiris ever. So therefore, Raman says, Mistaber, that it should work by Schiris, even if it will be considered a Mecher. But there is definitely a Machlaikis Rishayin we find in several places,
as to what the Gedr Schiris is. Is it a Memkar L'Yomei, or is it just a Schil Shimush that the Seicher pays for? We find a Machlekes as to whether the Seicher has the Schus of Kinyan Chatzar. If something comes into the Chatzar that a Seicher rented, who has the Schus to keep that thing be Kinyan Chatzar? Some Rishonim learn that it goes to the Seicher, and some learn, no, it goes to the Masker. What's the Machlekes? We can easily explain the Machlekes based on the Machlekes that we just mentioned. If the Getter of Schiris is that it's a Memkar L'Yomei, it's Mamash HaKinyan, so just like he bought the property for this period of time, likewise, he's going to have the Schusim of Kinyan Chatzar as well. If it's just a Schus Shimush, he has a right to use it, he can use the character, but to consider it his character that he can be kind of a Kinyan Chatzar, something that falls in there, that already we won't say. It's possible, obviously, to explain the Machlekes in different ways, but this is one feasible explanation, one feasible beer of what the argument's about. Likewise, there's a Machlekes Rishonim, it's brought in the Ramon, Simon Shin Lam Dalet, and Chayshe Mishpat, as to what's the din if somebody rented a house, let's say for a year, and he died after 2 months. Do the Yerushim have to continue paying the Schiris, and do they keep the house that their father rented for the duration of the year, or no? We'll say that since he can't use it, he's an Eidus, he can't use the house anymore, the Schiris is batel. This Machlekes too is L'chayr Toloi in what we mentioned earlier. If the Getter of Schiris is a king and has a Memkar L'Yomei, he bought it, so it doesn't matter if he's an Eidus. If somebody buys something and he has an Eidus afterwards that he can't use it, he doesn't want to use it, that's not going to give him the right to recant on the Mecher. The Mecher is valid and stays, there's no way to undo it. However, if it's just a Schus Shimush, he keeps paying for the right to use it, sure, he can't back out for no reason, but if it's an Eidus, so he'll be able to back out as he can't use the Shimush anymore. He doesn't own the house. He's just using it. Now that he can't use it, he'll be potter from continuing the contract.
And therefore, the master cannot force the Yerushim of the Seicher to continue paying for the duration of the period of the Schiris. Now let's see, drop further in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Hayman de Gozel Chavitza de Tamri, somebody who steals a lot of dates that are stuck together. It's called a Chavitza. Sometimes this group of dates stuck together numbers even 50 dates. As the Gemara says, Vispa Chamishim Tamri, it has actually 50 dates in this Chavitza. When he sells all of them together, he sells it wholesale, sells it in mass, so he charges only 49 for all 50 together. He sells one each separately, he sells it retail, mazdavnon benun. There he charges 50, he charges one for each. So Gemara says, when he steals his chavitza, matters who he stole it from. If he stole it from a hedyot, from a regular person, he pays only 49. If he stole it from hegdish, he has to pay 50 plus a chaymish. So the Gemara asks, why do we say that when he pays a hedyot, he pays the lower price, he pays the wholesale price, let the nigzal, let the person who had his tvarim damaged say, I would have sold each one separately, I would have made 50 on this chavitza. Why do you only have to pay me 49? So the Gemara says that it's based on the halacha of shaman beiso beisasada. The halacha is that when we make a shuma to figure out how much a mazik should pay, there is a more lenient way of making a shuma. You don't charge the mazik at the face value of what he was mazik. Let's say it's talking about a behemoth that ate in somebody's field in Aruga. So we don't say that the Baal Behemoth has to pay for the Aruga as it was. Rather, we make a shuma. We look at the saruga, agav, the base so that it was in. I don't say he pays the exact price of what the animal ate. Rather, he pays it in a general picture in regards to the entire field. If he pays just for those fruit that the animal ate, it's going to be much more expensive. If he pays it in relation just to the devaluation of the base so that it was in, that's much cheaper. It devalued it much less than the actual fruit cost of the fruits that he ate. The Gemara sees from there that you are makel when you force a mazik to pay, you charge him the lower rate. Now, obviously it's not an exact comparison. The Gemara Baba Kama in Akainas, where we learn this halacha, Shom Beis Sada,
It really is based on a pasuk. The Gemara dashes an extra word from the pasuk. There's a drasha that we dash in to teach us halacha. It's not known from a svara. The Torah teaches us that we look at the damage in regards of the entire field and not just regarding the actual payers that he ate, which is tremendous leniency on the mazik. Still, that's only a din in how to perceive the hezek. How do we learn from there that if there's a wholesale price or a retail price, that we're going to have him pay the cheaper wholesale price? The idea is we learn from there that the Torah was makel when there are two prices. We look at the more kuludika price, because over there, just like over here, both prices are correct, both prices are true. The wholesale price is a true price, and the retail price is a true price. The question is which price to charge. Likewise, over there, we could look at the hezek in respect to the entire field, or we could look at the hezek locally, just on the fruits that were eaten. The Torah says, charge him the more kuludika price. So we learn from there that whenever there are two prices to the same damage, we're going to charge the more kuludika price, as the kuludika price is true as well. But it's not something the Torah said, charge less than the hezek. Both prices are correct. Just the Torah says, use the cheaper price, be makel on the mazik. And just one more small nakuda, the Kesavah Kodeshim writes a very interesting chiddush in Simon Shin Samach Beis Sishu Yud Beis. The other thing Gemara says that he pays the lower price for this chavitza. He pays the 49 price and not the price of 50. That's only if he didn't sell it one by one, retail style himself. But if he himself, the Gazlan, sold each one separately and made 50 on it, in such a case, of course, he'll have to pay the Nigzal those 50. Why? Because Yish Kedi Loikani. The Gazlan never was Zaychen it. He was technically selling the Nigzal's Tzmarim, the Nigzal's dates. Therefore, the money that came in shows that when it left the Rishus of the Nigzal, it left at the value of 50, not at 49. If the Gazlan sold the entire thing at once. So that's the point that it left the Rishus of the Nigzal. So since at that point it was worth 49, he has to pay the Nigzal 49. But if he sold it one by one, since each date left the Rishus of the Nigzal only at the point of the sale where it was Yush and Shini Rishus, since he made 50 on it when it was still belonged to the Nigzal, he's going to have to reimburse the Nigzal with 50 and not 49.